Bay Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Kiravu, and we are wrapping up a Green Bay Packers victory 33-27 over the Minnesota Vikings yesterday in the Metrodome. Packers go to 7-0 on the year. Unbelievable. Undefeated record as the Packers now head into the bye, get a week off, and you know, how much more of a week off do they deserve? They deserve it. You almost feel like, you know, if you're one of the worst teams in the NFL, like, they don't deserve a bye week. They should have to practice all week long. These players, the Packers, the Green Bay Packers, nothing more they deserve than a week off after a 7-0 start in the first half of the season, or just before the first half. I suppose game 8 would officially mark the halfway point. Anyhow, we're sorry for the late start this morning. My interview on K107 in Fond du Lac went slightly later than expected. And as a result, we're going to have to take a break here in just a minute as I get Packers tight end Tom Crabtree on the line to talk about yesterday's victory and what a dominating victory it was. Maybe not the victory itself, but a dominating first half to the season. The Packers have won 13 straight games dating back to last season to break the record of Vince Lombardi, his team back in the glory years from the 60s. 13 straight wins. Let that sink in. Gonna ask Tom Crabtree about that to see what it feels like to enter Vince Lombardi territory. Could it really be that, will we be talking about, you know, when I'm old and gray and we're old and gray, we're going to talk about this team in the same reverence as Vince Lombardi? Is that possible? Can Mike McCarthy be up to that level? I'm not sure if he could ever be up to Vince Lombardi level, but I mean, could he really be, you know, one of the more heralded coaches in NFL history? A Hall of Famer? Will Aaron Rodgers surpass what we think of Bart Starr right now? On the live blog, Alex says, these are the new glory years. And I tell you, the way Aaron Rodgers is playing, as long as he stays healthy, how good are the Packers going to be for several years? Now, I'm not guaranteed they're going to win a Super Bowl here for several straight years, but I mean, the Packers have locked up Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews for at least this year and next year, and you got to imagine pretty soon extending the contract to Clay Matthews is going to be a priority in the future. But I mean, everywhere you look, Charles Woodson, Josh Sitton, Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, all these key ingredients coming back. Wow. Unbelievable. So what we're going to do here, folks, I'm going to take a break, and we're going to get Packers tight end Tom Crabtree on the phone. Don't be alarmed if you happen to see on the screen this Packers Bears graphic, I guess we could call it. That's normal, and it's kind of the way I can get Tom Crabtree on the line while I put the show on hold here for a second. So hang on, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com, and on the line we have Packers tight end Tom Crabtree joining us. Tom, how are you today?
I'm good this morning. How are you?
I'm good. I imagine you're good. Congratulations on yesterday's win. And I'd just like to point out, Tom, that since we've been doing these interviews, the Packers are undefeated. Can we take credit for that?
You know what? You're right. I didn't even think of that before. But, yeah, you know what? That's probably what it is.
I'll take credit for it. So, anyhow, the Packers are off to a 7-0 start. And I want to talk to you about goals. I mean, the goal is obviously to win every game. But before the season, does Coach McCarthy say, let's go 7-0 or let's go 16-0? That would seem to put a lot of pressure on everyone. How are goals expressed?
I would say, you know, just on a week-to-week basis, you know, he definitely stressed this week. You know, it was no secret that we had a chance to go to 7-0. But beyond that, you know, we're not really focused on the big picture as far as, you know, and I know a lot of people are talking about 16-0 and all that, but we're not really thinking about that. So this week he really just stressed 7-0 and just win the next game. That's what it's all about.
The Packers have won 13 straight games dating back to last year, which has broken the franchise record dating back to Vince Lombardi's team. Has that sunk in yet? The Packers have surpassed a record set by Vince Lombardi?
You know, that's pretty surreal thing to hear, to have, you know, a team that you're a part of be associated with, you know, those great teams from the past. And it's really an honor, and it really, really speaks to what we've really accomplished.
I'm going to nitpick here, Tom, but the Packers converted only 2 of 8 third downs yesterday. Is that something you come away from the game looking to fix?
Yeah, definitely. Third down is a big part of what we prepare for during the week as far as what kind of defense we're going to go up against. And so it's definitely, we emphasize third downs and practice quite a bit. And, you know, we've struggled at times, and I think we've made up for it in other areas. But, you know, I guess the more we can pick it up on third down, the better off we'll be.
Very certainly one of the areas in which you picked it up. Everyone did a really good job milking the clock at the end with the running game yesterday. The Vikings knew you were going to run at the end of the game, so how were you so effective?
Yeah, that's definitely a big part of being, you know, a championship team and kind of accomplishing your goals is, you know, when you have that lead there at the end, the other team knows that you're trying to run the clock out. But, you know, if you can run and they can't stop you, even though they know it's coming, that's huge mentally for them. It kind of, I think, breaks the defense down. And, you know, in the end, it ultimately wins the game for you.
The special teams performance was pretty good yesterday, especially from the two specialists, Mason Crosby and Tim Mastay. Can you talk about that phase of the game and how you thought the special teams performed?
Well, yeah, Mason is obviously just, you know, just playing unbelievable right now. He, I'm not sure exactly how many in a row or whatever, but, you know, with longest kick in, I think longest kick in franchise history was one of the ones he got yesterday. And just, he's been hitting the ball great. And then Tim yesterday putting a few punts inside the 20, one down on the one. And, you know, they both did an outstanding job yesterday. And, you know, they've both been doing an outstanding job all year.
The Packers enter their bye week, and as I understand it, you get about a week off. Any plans during the bye week, traveling anywhere?
No big plans. I might make a trip back to Ohio towards the end of the week. Not sure yet, but you know, I'd like to check out. I don't get a chance too often to see my old high school team. I think they have their last game this week, so I might check them out. And other than that, you know, I'm just gonna relax, let my body recover, and just spend some time with my family.
Well, congratulations, Tom. You deserve it. Enjoy the bye week, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you once again. Congratulations. Thanks. Packers tight end Tom Crabtree joining us here on Railbird Central as he does every Monday. What a stand-up guy to join us as he does every week. And talking about a Packers victory over the Minnesota Vikings, in which Packers tight end Tom Crabtree and the whole rest of the team did such a good job at the end of the game, as we talked about, milking the clock at the end, especially when the Packers got the ball back with just over 2 minutes to play. It was kind of a tough choice there for the Vikings. They faced a fourth down, I think it was fourth and 10, with 2:40 remaining, something like that. And I personally thought it was at that point where you go for it on fourth down, even though it's fourth and long. I thought that really the Vikings should have gone for it on fourth down. Not that I'm complaining as a Packers fan. I'm glad they punted and the Packers got the ball back. And as we're saying here, did a good job icing the game, milking the clock with the run game. Taking the ball on the ground, giving it to James Starks, and breaking off a couple long runs. He had like three runs over 10 yards right at the end of the game. And, just kind of average before that, the running game, doing nothing special. But it's kind of been like that all year, hasn't it? I mean, maybe not all year, but I mean, the Packers really, they're winning every game. They're ahead at the end, at least near the end. And they have to always run the ball because you want to run time off the clock. If you pass the ball, there's the chance of it going incomplete and stopping the clock. So the Packers want to run the ball, and James Starks and everybody blocking for him, from Tom Crabtree to the offensive line, really doing a good job icing it and running that clock out and preserving the victory for the Green Bay Packers. So I thought that was one thing to take away from the game. That was really good for the Packers. While we're at it here, I wanted to take a look at some of today's headlines. If you scroll to the top of the live blog, you can look at this morning's Packers Daily Links. Left a link to it. And the top story today, Vikings defensive end Brian Robeson apologized for kicking TJ Lang in the groin. How about that incident yesterday? So, as it happened, I think it was on a Mason Crosby field goal. Right after it happened, Robeson got, sent to the ground during the play. And then TJ Lang was kind of over the top of him, or, kind of facing him. And Robeson got lifted up a little. Was it by a teammate? I'm not sure even exactly. But then he kicked TJ Lang, and as he explained, I think in an interview or was a tweet, he didn't intend to kick him in the groin, just kind of happened to be where it landed. And anyway, he apologized for it. TJ Lang tweets back, saying he accepts the apology and actually thought Brian Robeson is a very good player and things are okay now. I think at the time, people were kind of debating, wondering whether this was an offense that was worthy of a ejection. I'm not sure it's worthy for a suspension, but worthy of an ejection, perhaps. Kurt Kozad on our live blog commenting, "I'm sure that there will be a fine from the No Fun League." I'm sure that there probably will be as well later this week. Usually we find out late in the week, Thursday or Friday, when the NFL hands down their fines. I think there will be coming one to Brian Robeson. So, anyhow, he apologizes, TJ Lang accepts the apology, and we move on, I suppose. Tom Crabtree talked about it. Another story in today's Packers Daily Links. kicker Mason Crosby booting a 58-yard field goal sets a franchise record, longest field goal in Packers history. And how good is Mason Crosby playing right now? He not only kicks a 58-yard field goal, he sets the franchise record for most consecutive field goals with 21 straight now. With he coming into the game, he was tied, I believe, with Chris Jackie for the most consecutive field goals with 17, I think. And so Crosby actually kicks four yesterday to make it 21 straight dating back to last year. And is a perfect, of course, 14-14 on this year. How unbelievable is he playing? As I said before on the postgame show last night, Pro Bowl level. And Mason Crosby got a lot of grief, I think, for the contract he received from the Packers. I think a 5-year contract worth $15 million or in that ballpark. So $15 million to Mason Crosby. People are like, wow, that's a lot for a kicker, especially a kicker that makes less than 80% of his field goals. But ever since he signed that contract, he's hitting 100% of his field goals. And I suppose we can even add 100% of his extra points as well. Kind of a footnote, you expect kickers to make their extra points. But Mason Crosby, perfection on the season. So earlier this year, he tied a franchise record. Was it a 57-yarder? And then yesterday, beating it. 58-yarder. So he's kicked a 57 and a 58-yard field goal this year. It's just amazing how well he is playing. Best kicker in the league right now. And among the league leaders in touchbacks, too. Not that that's really too tough, and that perhaps says a lot about the Packers' offense, how often they score. But still, rather have touchbacks than having the threat of the Packers facing a kickoff return from an opponent. If you want to call into the show, the phone number is area code 646-797-2909. If you want to talk about Mason Crosby, you want to talk about Tom Crabtree, you want to talk about the Packers setting a franchise record 13 straight wins that broke the mark set by Vince Lombardi's team, feel free to call into the show and let us know your thoughts, or please feel free play some on the live blog as well. If you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or tweet with the hashtags CheeseheadTV, all those comments will show up on our live blog. Comment from Revolution MDK. How about Bush not getting turned around on that deep man-to-man? Jared Bush, on the whole, playing pretty well yesterday, I thought. He gave up the completion in the fourth quarter. That was a little bit disappointing, but I mean, he was right there. It's not like he got burned, you know. So, you know, he made a good play right there, and helping to down that punt at the end of the game at the 2-yard line as well. Fantastic play there. As we talk about another, you know, special teams aspect that was just, you know, money yesterday. Doing a really, really good job. So, Jared Bush having a pretty good game in relief of Sam Shields, who was out with a concussion. And now we kind of wait for all these injury updates to come in from several Packers. How will Sam Shields be in the recovery from his concussion? You know, you kind of assume that, you know, the hit didn't look too bad last week in which Sam Shields suffered his concussion. So you kind of hope that he'll be back for sure, I think, following the bye, now that the Packers have a week off. But there's a couple more injuries that are a little bit more severe and I think a little bit more interesting, in that you have Chad Clifton, left tackle Chad Clifton, who said yesterday in an interview that he doesn't expect his hamstring injury to be threatening the end of his career or even the end of this year. Doesn't think it's that bad. So we kind of wait and see if he can come back this year. But on the other hand, Marshall Newhouse has played pretty well in his place. Pretty well. Not perfect, but I mean, you know, what more are you going to ask from Marshall Newhouse, a second-year player, seeing the first playing time of his career this year, and holding down the fort at the least, at the minimum. You kind of describe his play that way. So doing a good job. Does Chad Clifton get his job back? I have to say yes. Chad Clifton gets his job back if he's healthy and ready to go. I mean, they will take their sweet time, I think, and make sure he is 100% healthy. But the reason I say that is because this is Chad Clifton's swan song, I think. That, you know, this is it. That this year, and maybe Chad Clifton, you know, sees that writing on the wall, kind of like last year. I think the same thing happened. He saw the writing on the wall during that playoff stretch run and just played out of his mind during the playoffs. Seriously, Chad Clifton played out of his mind during the playoffs. Best of his career. I don't think that's an exaggeration. So I think he gets his job back, and you know, and Marshall Newhouse is always there in case he gets injured or can't play up to the same level because of the injury. So I think that's the way it'll work out if he's healthy. We will see, and we kind of wait when the Packers get back from the bye week. It'll be interesting to revisit all these injuries. Another one occurring to Mike Neal, defensive lineman. Hopeful that he'll be able to return. I think it's already been said, though, that he will not play at least in the San Diego game. So, you know, that they're going to kind of take stock of where his injury is at after the bye, but won't be playing at San Diego. So it's kind of another long-term process with him. And, you know, whether the Packers consider putting him on injured reserve or maybe Chad Clifton, although it sounds like, at least according to Clifton, that he's going to be coming back. I mean, that's coming from Clifton himself and not from, like, the doctor or any of the coaching staff. So we kind of wait and see on all these things. Greg Jennings, we wait on his injury. He suffered a hand injury in yesterday's game. Got hit hard, said it went numb, said he didn't have an x-ray, but probably will need an x-ray on his hand. We wait, and you know, the good thing, I suppose, with Greg Jennings is that, okay, maybe he has a broken hand somehow, some way, and, but I think even broken hands are not, you know, something that will be done for the season. That is just like, you know, Greg Jennings would be shut down. That just doesn't happen. And it helps that the Packers have the week off. He's got basically 2 weeks here for the hand to heal without him having to do a whole lot. And he'll come back at, in, you know, I'm talking worst case scenario here. And he finished the game yesterday. He played through it, although it didn't seem like Greg Jennings played the usual amount he plays. I think there were times where he was standing on the sideline. It was just like, okay, we have pretty good other receivers on this team, from Jordy Nelson to James Jones to Donald Driver to Randall Cobb. And they can get the job done. some comments here on the live blog from KCusino09. I have a hunch that Clifton is done. I don't think he'll be back this season. Interesting. After what Chad Clifton said yesterday, that he doesn't think he'll be done. So, again, that's just coming from Chad Clifton himself, not from the coaches, not from the doctors. So, we kind of wait and see today. You know, this today is kind of a big press conference because it's going to be the last time we hear Mike McCarthy speak in front of the media for about a week. We're not going to get a whole lot of news this week during the bye coming out of 1265 Lombardi Avenue. So I'm sure the media will take stock of all these injuries and what McCarthy has to say today and compare that to when the Packers come back next week and see where they are at. Comment on the live blog from Oppie. Perhaps a coach had some words for Neil about sharing his thoughts. Mike Neal, you know, saying he's hopeful he'll be back after the bye, but, you know, not guaranteeing he'll be back. We will see. As always, it's tough to wait, isn't it? You kind of want to know how things are going to play out. Of course, it's impossible, though. I mean, these guys need the time to rest and recover and see if they can get back into playing shape. So we wait. That's all right. In terms of the world of Railbird Central here and what's going on, we're going to be taking the bye week off as well. We will have one more episode of Railbird Central this week on Wednesday. And that'll be it for the rest of this week. We're going to take off Friday. We're going to be taking off Monday. As always, I take my usual bye week college football road trip. I'm excited. I'm not sure everybody out there listening is excited as I am. But this year, heading to Oregon for the University of Oregon game versus Wazoo, Washington State. Going to be checking out that out this weekend. So, yeah. But make sure to join us back here at Railbird Central on Wednesday morning. Same time, same place, 8:30 a.m. And we'll get to it one more time before taking the long weekend off. So, take care, everyone. Enjoy the Packers' victory, 7-0 to start the season. A 33-27 win over the Minnesota Vikings, and go Pack go to leave you here this morning. Getting into the Halloween theme, leave you with a morbidly titled song, I suppose, called Cemetery Walk 2 from Umphrey's McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. Enjoy. See you later.